Good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
It is, yeah. Well, we're Pacific, so it's all good. It's still morning. It qualifies.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I just saw the New York area code, and I was like, okay, you must be on the East Coast. I'm being an idiot.
Nah, we're touring. We have a day off in San Diego today, so.
Oh, nice. I hear San Diego's lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Love it.
Cool. So my name's Alex, by the way. How are you doing?
Hey, Alex. I'm Joel.
Pleased to meet you, sir. And I did a little bit of digging to in advance of talking to you today. And I don't want to assume, but I'm not an original member of Whitesnake.
No.
I'm teasing. They formed in like 1978. You were 8 then?
I was 8. Yeah. So I probably wouldn't have cut the gig.
Maybe not. Not then, anyways. But you have been a prolific artist through a career, like Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Broadway with Rock of Ages, Night Ranger, Whitesnake. What did you learn from these, and what was the positive from these mediums?
Yeah, there's something positive to take from every gig you do, and that's the key, is always to keep an eye on all the good things that are happening from everyone, and that manages to kind of keep the big picture clear, I guess, or it's the best possible outlook, if that makes sense. So I always try and focus on the positive, in short, of whatever gig I'm doing.
Okay, and I guess what I was looking at is more like there's a lot of difference, I would think, between playing with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, doing Broadway, and playing with some of these iconic rock groups. Like, how does that feel to be part of these different things and have that on your resume, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that it comes down to just doing the best you can with each possible situation. So as much as they're possibly different in terms of approach, it's the same in terms of the fundamental, that you got to do the best you can with it and how much work you want to put into it. And music is a lot more about that than people ever realize. They always think it's about, you know, making it big and a lucky break, and there's really not so much of that. it's just like a series of small breaks that happen through hard work. That's the way I look at it. But no, I'm totally blessed to have all the opportunities to have done the gigs that I've done. No doubt about it, man.
Absolutely. And actually, you're coming up on an anniversary of sorts, 4 years since joining Whitesnake. How did you get that gig? I didn't see it in the newspapers. I couldn't apply for that job, so.
Yeah, I found out there was an availability, and I passed on some video links of me playing to Red Beach, who plays guitar in the band as well, and to get to David Coverdale, and I didn't hear anything back at first. I think David maybe clicked on a video that he watched a little bit of and didn't like at first or something, so I thought, well, all right, something went wrong. Who would know David enough to get me an audition? I should at least have an audition. I happen to think of Phil Carson, who manages Foreigner. I filled in for Mick Jones in Foreigner in 2011. And so I basically asked that small favor of Phil Carson if he would contact David. He did, and everything worked out. I got the audition, and everything went great.
Awesome. That's cool, man. And have you played in the Kootenays before for any shows? Specifically, I guess.
Have I played in what?
The Kootenays. That's the region we're in. Sorry, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I guess the answer is no.
I think the answer is no. I've only played Vancouver, basically, which I think is fairly close to you guys, correct?
About 8 hours west.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
A couple kilometers here and there, a couple miles. Yeah, so this will be an interesting experience for you. Grand Forks has about, if I were to say, 4,000 people there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a very small town with a very big rock festival that comes there every year.
Okay, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I actually enjoy small towns. I live in New York City, so for me, when I tour, that's kind of the charm of it, is being able to go into smaller places and walk around in the morning when it's quiet and have people just be nice and friendly. And
yeah, it's a little bit of a vacation, I guess, of sorts, eh? And are you familiar with, I guess, the lineup card, like who else is going to be there and whatnot at Canifest?
I only caught that Gene Simmons is headlining the night before, I think. But who else is on the bill?
There's a lot of Canadian music. You've got Burton okay. Cummings of the Guess Who. You've got Kim Mitchell, some people like that. Tom Cochran and Red Ryder, actually. And then, of course, you guys with Whitesnake. Brett Michaels and Gene Simmons and Mark Farner, I guess, of Grand Funk is there as well.
Oh, cool. Okay. So Brett, I think, is on the same night we're on. Is that correct?
Yeah, he plays about an hour and a half before you do.
Great. Okay, cool.
So I guess my question was, is there anybody there on that lineup that you're particularly excited to share a stage with?
Brett actually had me up one time to play a Kiss song with him on stage. I did Rock and Roll All Night with Brett, and that was exciting. So if that happened again, I guess that would be the answer. Gene Simmons, possibly, because my son is a gigantic Kiss fan. He's only six, but he loves Kiss. So my goal is to kind of retrieve something, like a picture of me with Gene or, or something like that, to show my six-year-old son that he'd be really impressed about. So I'll go with that.
I think that's your answer and everybody else's too. Like, they want something to see, be pictured with Gene. That's cool. And you guys, you put together the Purple album, and that was reimagining a lot of the tracks from Deep Purple. Are there any songs, I guess you've kind of already answered this with Rock and Roll, you've done it before, but there are any songs from fellow artists, either they be CannaFest artists or otherwise, that you would really like to take a crack at, that you'd like to try to reimagine?
Not so much. I'm always just kind of tackling whatever's in front of me that I have to do for any particular gig and trying to do the best I can with that. So I don't try and force the vision. I kind of let life take me to these places, but always make sure that I work hard with whatever I'm doing and show myself in the best possible light. So, yeah, there you go. Okay. I mean, that's kind of right now. I'm after the Whitesnake tour. I'm doing Atlantic City playing with Cher, and then a 5-week tour of Australia with her. So, there's some material for that I got to get together. And so it's always things like that with me. I'm not really just kind of randomly listening to music going, someday I'd like to play that.
Okay.
I appreciate the opportunity to do all of it, man. Having the opportunity to do these gigs is basically like getting paid to practice. You get the opportunity to make money to get better at guitar. That's, nothing better than that.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. So, well, talking about things that are right in front of you, the Whitesnake. What's your favorite Whitesnake song to play live? What do you really like of that?
Blessed to do them all. I know you're looking for like Still of the Night or something, right? But like, they're all great. Whitesnake has a phenomenal catalog, really. And this whole run we're on in particular out here right now with Jason Bonham playing all the Zeppelin stuff and then us and then Foreigner, it's pretty amazing. The amount of good songs that are happening on a nightly basis out here. So I'm blessed to have the opportunity, bro, more than anything.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a concert. And I guess the other thing I got here is about Flesh and Blood. That album, a few times, has come close to getting out. I haven't had a chance to look at this because it's not out yet, obviously. Did you play on that album? And if so... Mm-hmm. How is the sound on that, and what are you most excited about that coming out, I think, in February 2019, yeah?
I'm not sure the exact release date, but I know it's, the top of 2019, basically. It sounds really cool. There's lots of cool songs. It's diverse. There's all the elements of Whitesnake are basically there. It's just going to come down to really what songs David picks, because we recorded 18 songs, and I think there's probably only 12 for the album, so something like that. So it depends on what songs he picks, and that'll kind of be the general direction of it. But there's something there for a fan from every era of Whitesnake, basically. There's that kind of old school bluesy sound, and of course the Geffen era stuff, sounding stuff that David calls it, the 1987 record and Slip of the Tongue, and stuff that sounds a little more reminiscent of that, and there's stuff that's a little more reminiscent of the last two original albums, Good to Be Bad and Forevermore. And then there's some material that's sort of just new territory too.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm getting kind of hyped on this now. You said some words that really speak to me there. So.
There's a lot of diversity in the material. So it really comes down to what does he pick for the album and how does he sequence it? And I think there'll be something there for everybody. I really do.
Awesome, man. That sounds cool. I do have this. Okay. I know you're sounding really just happy to be here and everything, but one of the questions I've been kind of assailing people with is many people have argued that rock is dead, most notably probably Gene Simmons himself back in 2014. Do you agree with that, and why or why not?
Well, I don't at all, but it's, I guess for a guy like Gene, I understand probably where he's coming from comparatively, where he was used to rock and roll being the biggest thing on the planet. I think it's far from dead. How come Def Leppard and Journey are playing for 35,000 people a night right now and crazy things like that? So the Foo Fighters are packing, they're bringing in that many people as well. And the run we're doing with Foreigners, 10,000 people a night right now. So I get it. It's not what it was when Kiss was at their zenith, I guess, back in the late 70s. It's definitely not that. But I don't know. I'm having a great time and enjoying all the opportunities. It doesn't feel dead to me. That's for sure.
Awesome. Well, it's just one of those things that's a pretty interesting statement. And talking to different people across the rock world, it just seems like logical to ask that question. See what you guys think, because better than I.
I think it would help. I think it would help to get things straight with the streaming in terms of royalties for artists across the board, and that's for every genre of music. Right now, the artists are kind of taking it on that. When people are streaming your songs, and that's the new norm, rather than going out and buying records, the artist really isn't getting their fair share currently in the market. And so that's just affecting everything. If there's no money for people to make playing music live, it's become extremely difficult, of course. And then if you can't do it recording, that makes it really hard. So it's in terms of fostering new talent and people that have the ability to be inspirational with playing music, you have to spend a lot of time doing it. So, I mean, I want to see people, younger artists coming up, be able to make a living and gig on a regular basis and make money and record music and release it and make money. And it's people just for some reason think that money magically grows on trees for musicians, but it's, you're like anybody else trying to pay bills and, that's not to say I'm struggling. Things are great for me at this stage of the game, but I just hope for like the younger artists coming up, that can go down.
Yeah, no, man, I get that for sure. It goes back to what you were saying earlier with the amount of hard work that artists have to put in, and people just see that little peak at the top, the success part. They don't see what went into creating that.
Yeah, the big break is really a myth. I guess maybe for some it happens, but you don't really get pulled from the basement of your parents' home to playing with U2 or something. They're going to get somebody who's used to all the situations that occur, the touring, somebody that's like at their tier or close is who they're going to hire. They're not going to pull somebody who's totally inexperienced, even if they're great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I have a couple listener questions to throw it your way, if you're so interested.
Okay. Cool.
What do you listen to? What are you a fan of? What's on your iPod or your device or whatever it is you would be listening to if you had to bus or fly?
Yeah, I have the worst answer in the world for you. It's just always what's coming up next for me. we're heading into these. We've had a shorter set out here with Foreigner, so we're adding a few songs now for the headliner shows, which will be part of Cannafest, of course. And so those three songs and the songs that I have to learn for the next share run, and that's the stuff that filters through for me. is whatever I'm working on. Bad answer, I know. People are looking for, like, what is he really like? And the answer is really just making a living in music. That's what I dig.
I'm just digging that I'm talking to the guitarist for Whitesnake, and you're telling me that you're going to be listening to Cher on the bus. I like it. I love it.
Hey, man, we've had a, there has been a slightly amusing story for you, I guess. There's been a little thing in the back lounge where we just kind of Bluetooth from our devices and pick songs, and mainly me, Red Beach, and Michael Bevan, the bassist. And there's been some nights we've gotten on, like, smooth light rock kicks. And, you know, we'll have, like, Christopher Cross going or something. And, you know, Tommy Aldridge will open the door to the back lounge and just look at us like, what the hell is wrong with you guys? You know, we're in Whitesnake heading down the road and we've got some light rock, you know, whatever going. It's pretty amusing when you think about it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I guess somebody also asked, what is something that we would be surprised to learn about you?
Gosh, let me think about that. How about when I was a kid, I wanted to be a baseball player, and that was my first love in life. I wanted to be a pitcher. I used to just pitch, like, all day long. That was going to be my thing. And I was actually really good at it when I was young. I won the Little League World Series a couple times in my area, my local area, as the pitcher. And then all the other kids started to get bigger sooner than me. And then I wasn't near as good, and I wasn't as fun. And right at that time, I discovered AC/DC and guitar, and that's where the changeover happened. And then that became the thing I did all day, every day. And that's kind of lasted all the way from the age of 11 to now 47. So,
hey, man, that's awesome. Are you a Cubbies or a White Sox guy?
I'm a Cubs guy, man. So it's a nice era to see them playing well. And to get that one World Series was, like, beyond, I just can't even explain
how
that felt.
I'll be up front with you. I was literally in Chicago a week ago, specifically to catch a couple Cubbies games, and that is such a unique experience. Like, it's almost a cult. Everyone's dressed the same. They're singing songs and clapping and stuff when they win. That is something else altogether. Like,
yeah, it was a long, brutal road to getting that first one. Just, I mean, it really felt cursed, especially growing up in a city where there's two baseball teams, because then all the fans of the other team are just going to constantly wail on you until your team finally gets it done. So that, it was an amazing thing to see them win a World Series, and anything from here would really just be kind of, I guess, frosting on top of the cake, you know. But I really do hope they can win another one or two while they've got all these talented players on the team.
And honestly, like, with the amount of time you guys took between World Series wins, I don't think anyone's going to begrudge that of you. It's just an ambivalent shrug. Ah, okay, fine, give it to them. Like,
oh, 108 years, no big deal.
Oh,
just a 108-year wait, that's all.
I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and we're at 50 years, and it is so painful. I cannot imagine how you guys went 108.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, it was tragic. It really was. There's people who lived their whole lives and never got to see it. And so it was pretty amazing that when they did win, that there was, you know, sons and grandsons at the graves of their fathers and grandfathers telling them it happened. And that, I mean, it's really an amazing thing culturally. And I guess, you know, when they had the parade, that was one of the largest gatherings of humans in the history of the world, they said. I forget how many million people came out for that, for the parade, but it was basically the entire city of Chicago was out. That was a really big deal.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I can't even imagine, because I thought that having 50,000 people all trying to cram on the red line at once was chaos. I can only imagine the parade. And I guess the last one I got from listeners is working with David. someone with that level, I guess, of clout, a rock icon. What is that like creatively? And yeah, working with David.
He's great. I'm going to say I'm just pleasantly surprised. It's not that I didn't think he was going to be a nice guy, but I'm 4 years in with him, and I'm yet to have a negative experience with him. He's great. He's really fun to hang out with. He likes to be one of the guys a lot of the time, and then he's like me also, where he likes to have his own solitude, I guess I would say, on days off. I'm that way as well. But it's really fun to work with a guy who's, one minute he's just cracking you up, telling you funny stories or funny jokes, and then the next he's telling you a story about working with Jimmy Page or working with Richie Blackmore or something like that. You go, oh yeah, wait a minute, this guy is, yeah, he's a legend. I forgot. For a minute I was just having fun with him. So it's great. It's really been awesome.
That's awesome, man. That's all I got for you. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. I know you're busy. Enjoy your off day in San Diego. And thank you so much again for joining me. Good luck at CannaFest, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you out there.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it.